Atmanam Nityajanam Namasyateya Chakshusumilitam Jainatarishmaya Sri Radhenama Sri Chaitanya Manabhistam Stapitam Jainabhutale Sayam Patagamaya Sapanam Manja Kapadrigas Chakrisam Vayavacha Patitanam Pavanejo Vaishnavi In the prayers that the Nagapatnis are offering, they've offered their appreciation for Krishna's punishment of Kaliya in 6 verses, because what Kaliya has attained, the dust of Krishna's lotus feet, is something extremely difficult to obtain, so rare and so wonderful. Yadvanchiyat Sri Lalanacharatapo Vahayakavam Suchiram Dhritavata. That the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, tried to no avail to attain this dust, but she was unable. And then they began offering their obeisances, and we read the first of those, two of those verses out of the ten, to the Supreme Lord, who is, it's always helpful to keep in mind who this boy is. First of all, who, it's very important to keep in mind when we think of that beautiful boy Krishna, to keep in mind who that beautiful boy is, that he's unlimitedly powerful, unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly opulent in every way. And when we think of how unlimitedly opulent he is, Sadacharya Purna, it is wonderful to keep in mind that there he is as the most beautiful boy. And yet that transcendental body of his is completely extraordinary, as Lord Brahma, in chapter 14, we heard the prayers of Lord Brahma, and we heard Lord Brahma was shocked seeing the unlimited, getting a glimpse of the unlimited power of that beautiful boy who was standing before him with a lump of food in his hand, in his left hand at that. So here, more obeisances to that beautiful boy who is so incredibly powerful, unlimitedly powerful. And in text 39 and 40 and 38, it was specifically that obeisance is to he who is unlimited and all pervading, yet localized, and who is the cause of all. So what they're explaining in each of these verses, or many of the verses, is Krishna is inconceivably non-complementary, contradictory qualities, that he's all-pervading, yet localized, and yet he's the cause of everything. That's in text 39. In text 40, he's the cause of all causes, but he's beyond all causes himself. He's not at all within the realm of cause and effect, even though that he is the cause of all causes, the Sarva Karana Karana. He's the prime mover of everything. In text 41, that he is time. Did we read 41 yesterday? I think we did. He is time, but he is beyond time, as the creator of the universe has to be beyond the universe, existing prior to the universe. He who time is coming from has to be beyond time, because time is emanating from him. So here is this amazing boy with that Shama complexion, lotus eyes, and beautiful hair, and charming smile, Mridu Gandhi, that is like Madhu Gandhi, Mridu Smita. His gentle smile is like the fragrance of honey. So wonderful. Maduram, 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 maduram. Oh, just see this. Etaro, oh. And yet, look at his potencies.
Yes.
Completely inconceivable. And then 42 and 43. Obeisances unto you who are the ultimate soul of the physical elements, of the subtle basis of perception, of the senses, of the vital life airs, and of the mind, intelligence, and consciousness. He is the soul of that. This is all the different aspects of ourself that we make up ourselves and we cannot do without. Our senses, the subtle senses, the physical elements, the earth, water, fire, air, ether, the life airs, the mind, intelligence, consciousness. Krishna is the soul of that. Bina prakritim astada, they're all emanating from him. By your arrangement, the infinitesimal, what does infinitesimal mean? Infinitely small. How small is infinitely small? Infinitesimal means practically uncalculably small. 1/10,000th, the tip of a hair in size. And just the tip of a hair is a point. And a point, by definition, is indivisible. So if you divide up that indivisible point into 10,000 pieces, we get the size of the soul. So, by your arrangement, the infinitesimal spirit soul falsely identifies with the three modes of material nature, with their perception of their own true self, thus becoming clouded. Thus becomes clouded. So, identifying with all these elements, and the soul neglects his own identity by Krishna's arrangement. The arrangement of his daivyesha gunamayi mamamaya daratyaya ahankara vmudatma kaktaham mitti manyate maya dakshena prakriti suyate sarcharacharan. All this is going on by Krishna's divine arrangement, and that is causing the bewilderment of every living entity, the clouding of the consciousness, the forgetfulness of Krishna, the misidentification with the matter, because we are infinitesimal. We cannot even be in Maya by our own power. We can't even be an illusion and forgetfulness of Krishna by our own power. We can do nothing by our own power. We are so tiny and insignificant. Part of being infinitesimal is being insignificant. How does it feel to be insignificant? How would I know, right? That's a good answer to that. So by the misidentification with Maya, our true conception of ourself becomes clouded or covered over. Clouded in the sense that it's the sun becomes clouded. The sun, of course, doesn't become clouded. But our ability to see the sun becomes covered by clouds. So similarly, the consciousness of the soul becomes covered. And he doesn't see his own true self. And who is his own true self? It's Krishna's servant. Eternal servant. So we offer our obeisances unto you, the unlimited Supreme Lord, the supremely subtle one. Supremely subtle. The omniscient personality of Godhead. What does omniscient mean? All knowing. The omniscient personality of Godhead, who are always fixed in unchanging transcendence. Throughout all these changes in the material world, you are fixed in unchanging transcendence. You are causing, ultimately, arranging for the illusion of the living entity, but you yourself are above illusion and you are fixed in that. And, listen to this, who sanctions the opposing views of different philosophies and who are the power upholding expressed ideas and the words that express them. So all the philosophies in the world where everyone says, well, I think it's like this and I think it's like that, and everyone has their own opinion, and they use logic in the realm of philosophy. They use fine logic to support their opinion and to disprove someone else's opinion. And all this, and even the energy and the ability And the potency to disprove the existence of God is coming from the potency of Krishna. Because if he withdraws the potency, those people cannot act as they are acting. So all the and the power of holding expressed ideas in the words that express them, this is all the potency of Krishna. This is two texts, 42 and 43. So this is inconceivable potency, that his influence is pervading everything. We may not see it. We do not see it. Even the misidentification with the body that is caused by false ego, which is one of Krishna's energies, by his arrangement and by his energy. This is all going on. Srila Sridhar Swami comments. In terms of his being the soul of false ego, they offer obeisances by the words beginning Tri Gunanena. To him, by whom the perplexities of the jivas, who are his own fractional selves, is hidden by that false identification of the three modes with the created manifestation of material nature. To you, who are not covered by false ego, they offer prayer. So he covers them, he allows everyone to be covered. Or when they bule se jiv, anadi bahi muk, when the jivas turn their back on Krishna, atta eva maya tari, the form of maya, he gives them samsareta duk, but he covers them and throws them down, covers their knowledge and throws them down by his potency. It's not him that's causing it in one sense, because it is no more him that's causing the illusion of the jivas than is the judge who is causing the placement of the prisoner, in the criminal in prison. It is the law that is doing that, and the judge executes the law. He permits it to go on. So Krishna is the anumanta, the permitter of these things. But it's all set up by him. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate charam. But he is not covered by this illusion and false ego. And therefore, they praise him according to his actual qualities. Now they are offering prayers in terms of his potency of maya. It is or it is not, it knows everything, or it is one of the many. So these are the potencies, the different expressions of the people have of reality. This is coming from Krishna. Srila Sanatana Goswami, that was Sridhar Swami's comment. Sanatana Goswami says, to him who the anabhuti, the understanding of the self, is covered over for his separated parts and parcels, they offer their respectful obeisances. To the unlimited, supremely great, and also to the subtle, he's pervading everything, and yet we don't see him. To him who is the center, that is, who undergoes no change, just like when there is a wheel that is spinning, the whole, what is the outside of the wheel called? It's called the perimeter, the rim. Yeah, the rim is spinning and the different spokes are spinning, but the center, the very center, remains not spinning, it remains the same. So similarly, like the pole star, the north star, the Juvaloka, Juva means fixed. The fixed star is fixed and everything revolves around it. So Krishna is fixed and he undergoes no change. And he is the spiritual master of various kinds of artistry. What artistry has Krishna just demonstrated that the Nagapatis are glorifying him? And dancing, the finest of dances. Or the second finest of all dances. And Srila Vishwanath Bhagavati Thakur says, to who are they offering obeisances? He is impossible to understand to the subtle. So, because we heard he is the subtlest. So, that is to he who is impossible to understand. He's so subtle. But learned men say that the jiva is not separated from me. So it is that I bewilder myself. In reply to this, they say, you should not speak like this by saying, kutosta, according to the definition, one who remains throughout all time in the same form is called kutosta. So you in the same undiminishing form pervades all time, whereas the jivas in various fallible forms of demigods, men, animals, and so on, only live for a certain time. So you in your form, you are fixed. You stay always in that way. So you are not the jiva. Because he's using this to fight Mayavad philosophy. So how is the jiva non-distinct from you if you have different qualities in the jiva? Thus is the implication. If the retort is given that the assumption of the form of the demigods, men, and so on is not the factual identity of the jiva, still this jiva is separate from you, as they describe by saying, to him is, who is vapaschit, the knower of everything, whereas he, the jiva, is well known to be of small knowledge. So there's another difference. Furthermore, you nevertheless sanction various philosophies, such as the soul is only the jiva. He is none different from the controller. The soul, the person is dead matter. He is alive. He is one. He is many. And so on. So many different philosophies. This is Krishna allowing these different philosophies to take place. Simply for the sake of sport, you manifest these different ideas. To him who acts thusly, we offer our obeisances. Therefore, it is simply by your desire that persons engaged in mutual disagreement argue amongst each other, and by your desire, scholars cite verbal testimonies as evidence. The Nagapatnis express this by saying, to whom comes the various different potencies of expressed ideas and words? To him, that person who is controlling the Maya, we offer our respectful obeisances. Text 44. And all these verses are wonderful sounding Sanskrit poetry. Nama pramanam mulaya kavaye shastrayonaye pravitraya navrittaya nagamaya namo nama. We offer our obeisances again and again to you, who are the basis of all authorized evidence, and who are the author and ultimate source of revealed scriptures. Nigamaya. Pramana mulaya. Nama pramana mulaya. The root of all evidential truths. So we offer our obeisances again and again to you, who are the basis of authoritative evidence. He is also the basis of the unauthoritative evidence that we just heard of the different false opinions of everyone. Krishna is the basis of that, but he's also the basis of the different pramanas, the shabda praman, because you are the author and ultimate source of the revealed scriptures, as Srila Vyasadeva especially, who have manifested yourself in those Vedic literatures encouraging sense gratification as well as those encouraging renunciation of the material world. So that is also Krishna, because that's the Karma Kandiya section of the Vedas, the Jnana Kandiya section of the Vedas, the Upasana, the worshipping section of the Vedas. They all come from Krishna. They all have the basis in Krishna. The purport here is, if we did not have the power of perception and cognition, what does cognition mean? Oh, thinking. Evidence could not be transmitted. And if we had no tendency to believe in particular modes of evidence, persuasion could not take place. All of these processes, perception, cognition, persuasion, and transmission, take place through the various potencies of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord Krishna is himself the greatest scholar and intellectual being. He manifests the transcendental scriptures within the hearts of great devotees like Brahma and Narada. And in addition, he incarnates as Vedavyas, the compiler of all Vedic knowledge. In multifarious ways, the Lord generates a variety of religious scriptures which gradually bring the conditioned souls to the various phases of re-entry into the kingdom of God. Srila Swami has a short comment here. Obeisances to the basis of all evidence of the eye, that's pratyaksha, direct perception, and so on, to him who appears in the form of innate knowledge, who is not dependent on any means of evidence. We may prove or not prove the existence of God, but that doesn't affect his existence at all. Why? Because you are the source of the scriptures, to him whose breath constitutes the Vedas. Furthermore, to him who is the poverty and liberty scriptures, we offer repeated obeisances. The scriptures who pronounce the path of sense enjoyment or in a legitimate, bona fide, shastric way, and those who propound the liberty, the path of renunciation. This is all. So this is Krishna. He's all these things. He's all these things, and yet he's wandering around the cow fields of Vrindavan, and this is what the Nagapatnis are seeing and saying. This is truly the most wonderful thing, and therefore Akura, after he sees the Krishna's form of Mahavishnu or Gavadaksha Vishnu in the Akura God in the Yamuna, and then he's astounded when he sees that, those forms, and then he walks back and he sees that Krishna and Balaram on the chariot, and he still has his eyes open looking astounded. And Krishna and Balaram say to him, "Oh, you've seen something wonderful?" And Akura replies, "I'm seeing you. What could be more wonderful than that?" So nothing is more wonderful than Krishna. But one has to have the eyes to see. Because when Brahma saw Krishna at first, he didn't have the eyes. How could he be the Supreme Lord? When Shishupal saw Krishna, he had a different kind of eyes, the eye of envy. And when Kamsa saw Krishna, he had the eye of fear. But when the residents of Vrindavan see Krishna, they have still a different eye, the eye of love. And when the Nagapatnis are seeing Krishna, they have a different eye. It's love and devotion mixed with knowledge of who Krishna is. Mother Yasoda has a different eye. According to our consciousness, Mother Yasoda has a different eye than Devaki. According to the consciousness, one sees in a particular way, even sees Krishna in a different way. And the more purified our consciousness becomes, the more we expand our consciousness, because contamination covers our consciousness, and removing the contamination and developing love for Krishna expands our consciousness. The more that occurs, the more we can understand Krishna in the moving towards the highest of ways. Sanatana Goswami comments. To the root basis, the cause, or the shelter of Pramana, which means the Vedas or else the Vaishnava Siddhanta, to the Kavi, the creator of the Shastras, and also the shelter of the purports of the Shastras. Or else to him whose knowledge is innately manifested and who is devoted to the Shastras. Or else to the Shastra, the Vedic scriptures, and to him who is the original identity of its injunctions, the behavior prescribed by different scriptures, pravriti and nivriti. Thus, in terms of his amazing character, they offer repeated obeisances. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, some of his comment. Even though all cultured speech is evidence, still the super excellence of Srimad Bhagavatam is stated by them. To the root of all evidence, the original identity of Srimad Bhagavatam, to the Kavi, the creator of this Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasadeva, the original identity of Vedavyas, the Lord,
You yourself, who takes the form of Vyasa in order to establish the authority of the Vedas, we offer our obeisances unto you. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur especially mentions the Pramana being the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's Mahaprabhu's teaching. Pramanam Amalam Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavate Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. And the goal of that is Prema Pramartha Mahan. So this is the, and this is what Srila Jiva Goswami, based on that point, Srila Jiva Goswami, he proves the entire Vaishnava Siddhanta basically using Srimad Bhagavatam in his satsandhavas. The next one. So one by one, the Nagapatnis are describing different aspects of Krishna and showing how he is ultimately the basis of everything. 45. Obeisances to the Lord who is the Chaturvyuha. We offer obeisances to Lord Krishna and Lord Ram, the sons of Vasudeva, and to Lord Pradyumna and Lord Aniruddha. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the master of all the saintly devotees of Vishnu. And then 46. Nama guna padipaya gunatma chadadanayacha guna vrittupalakshaya guna drastresva samvide. Obeisances to you, O Lord, who manifest varieties of material and spiritual qualities. You disguise yourself with the material qualities, and yet the functioning of those same material qualities ultimately reveals your existence. You stand apart from the material qualities as a witness and can be fully known only by your devotees. The word guna conveys various meanings. The three basic qualities of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, excellent qualities when manifest because of piety and spiritual achievement, or the internal senses, such as the mind and intelligence. The word pratipaya means unto him who manifests or illuminates. Thus here the Nagapatnis are addressing the Supreme Lord as he who manifests all material and spiritual qualities. So all the modes of material nature, all these things that he's defining the gunas as, the subtle good qualities, the subtle senses, these are all coming from Krishna. They're all manifested by him. Thus here the Nagapatnis are addressing the Supreme Lord as he who manifests all material and spiritual qualities and who causes the living entities to be conscious. One can see the Lord by going beyond the screen of material nature, and therefore he is called Gunatma Chadanaya. If one methodically and intelligently studies the functioning of the material qualities, he will ultimately conclude that there is a supreme personality of Godhead, and that the Lord, he, exhibits his illusory potency to bewilder those who do not surrender unto him. The Lord is never affected by the modes of nature, being their witness, and therefore he is called Guna drastre. These are all words from the verse. The word swa indicates one's own, and thus swasamvide means that Lord Krishna can be known only by his own people, the devotees. And also that ultimately only the Lord can know himself perfectly. Therefore we should take Lord Krishna's instruction in Bhagavad Gita and immediately come to the right conclusion, full surrender to the Lord's lotus feet. Thus we should humbly glorify the Lord following the example of the Nagapatnis. 47. Avyakri viharaya sarvavyakrita siddhaye Rishikesha namastestu munaye monashilane. O Lord Rishikesh, master of the senses, avrikritya viharaya, Avakritya-viharaya, the first line of this means, to him whose glories are unfathomable. What does unfathomable mean? Huh? Deep, yes. Unfathomably deep. Ununderstandably deep. Unfathomable means they're so deep
They are ununderstandable. Sava Vyakrita Siddhya means to him who is understood as the creation of all things is resting upon him. So his glories are understandably deep. The whole creation is resting on him. Remember who they're talking to, this beautiful boy who's just danced upon the head of their husband and danced in such a wonderful way. Rishikesha Namaste Stu, O Lord or motivator of the senses, obeisances unto you. And let there be Munaye Munashilane. That to the non-devotees you remain silent, absorbed in self-satisfaction. So although you are all these things, you do not communicate with the non-devotees. You don't need to do anything. But on the other hand, Krishna is attracted to the devotion of the devotees. He's eager to eat that which the devotees offer him. His hunger is proportionate to the bhakti in which something is offered. He speaks, and he's going to speak soon. And he speaks the Bhagavad Gita because of Arjuna, because he's attracted to Arjuna's devotion. He speaks within the heart to everyone, according to how pure and sincere someone is. Therefore, he is called the Chaitya Guru, the Adi Guru, the original spiritual master. So this is wonderful Krishna. The verse, I'll read the translation. O Lord Rishikesh, master of the senses, please let us offer our obeisances unto you. Please let us, because it is in the interest of the living entity that he offers obeisances, bows down before the Lord and gives up his false pride. Let us offer our obeisances unto you whose pastimes are inconceivably glorious. Your existence can be inferred from the necessity for a creator and revealer of all cosmic manifestation. But although your devotee can understand you in this way, then the non-devotee remains silent, absorbed in self-satisfaction. He is the Atmaram, the Supreme Atmaram. 48. Obeisances unto you who know the destiny of all, the destination of all things, superior and inferior, who are the presiding regulator of all that be. You are distinct from the universal creation, and yet you are the basis upon which the illusion of material creation evolves. And also, you are the witness of this illusion. Indeed, you are the root cause of the entire world. O Almighty Lord, although you have no reason to become involved in material activities, still you act through your eternal potency of time to arrange for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this universe. This is our worshipful Lord. You do this by awakening the distinct functions of each of the modes of nature, which before the creation, they lie dormant. Simply by your glance, you perfectly execute all these activities of cosmic control in a sporting mood. And then the final verse in this section. Therefore, all material bodies throughout the three worlds, those that are peaceful in the mode of goodness, those that are agitated in the mode of, and those that are foolish in the mode of ignorance, all are your creations. Still, those living entities whose bodies are in the mode of goodness are especially dear to you. And it is to maintain them and protect their religious principles that you are now present on the earth. read some comments here. Srila Sridharaswamy says, those bodies which are called tanus, tanu means the sun, in the sense of they expand, tanyate, are the paraphernalia of your play. They all belong to you. Still, it is the persons who are peaceful in the mode of goodness. So all the bodies, whether the bodies are in the mode of passion, ignorance, or in goodness, they are all coming from you. Because you are the Supreme Lord. But still, it is the persons who are peaceful in the mode of goodness who are at this time dear to you. Why? Because you are acting, endeavoring with the desire to protect the religious principles of those who are saintly and thus who are present. You are present for the purpose of protecting them. Srila Madhvacharya says, something can be called dear in two different ways. Internally and externally. The saintly devotees are internally dear to Lord Hari, whereas everything else is externally dear to Lord Hari. During the annihilation, those who are not saintly are also in a sense internally within the Lord, just like dear devotees. But compared to them, the devotees are situated completely internally and dear. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, with what intention in mind are you offering these prayers? It's taking the mood of Krishna. What intention do you have in offering these prayers? You're glorifying me as so powerful. What do you want to say? This the Lord may inquire, to which they reply, because of him, you, who heretofore has been thus characterized, namely yourself, you are the cause of the universe. It is yourself who awakens these bodies in the mode of goodness and so on, within the total form of the universe. You awaken the nature of shanta, goodness and passion within everyone, sattva, peacefulness, shanta. So it is you who's doing these things. So they're indirectly saying that look who is in the mode of ignorance here. It is this envious snake, so please, since it is you who have awakened, ultimately it is you who has awakened this nature within him, please be merciful to him. And they'll get on to this point in the following prayers, the concluding prayers. And that being the case, how can this Kaliya, whose nature is in the mode of passion and ghastly, Goda, how can he be able to give up his nature of cruelty? Still, at the present time, it is the Shantas who are dear to you. Why? Because you are here engaged with the desire of protecting the religious principles of the saintly devotees. Therefore, in the next verses, 51, 52, 53, these three verses will conclude their prayers. At least once, aparara shakshad bartra. So now they're getting to the final part of their prayers. First they said, yes, you're correct in punishing them. And then in these 10 verses, they've said, but you are so powerful and told the extent of Krishna's powers that everything, especially the modes of material nature, which are producing all the different bodies of which this snake, Kaliya, is so much affected by ignorance, it is ultimately resting upon you. So therefore, that was basically the conclusion. Even the Maya comes from you, the Shastras come from you, time comes from you, everything is coming from you, all qualities, material, spiritual, rest upon you. So, aparara shakri bhatra sodhavya swaprajakrita chantum arhasi santatmam mudhasya tvam ajanata. At least once, sakrid, aparad, aparada sakrid, bhatra, by the master, sodhavya, swapraja, of your own subjects, at least once you should tolerate the aparad, the offenses that your own subject, a master, should tolerate the offenses his subject has performed. At least once a master should tolerate an offense committed by his child or subject. O supreme peaceful soul, Shodhavya Swaprajakrita, Chantum Arhasi, Shantatmam. You should therefore forgive our foolish husband who did not understand who you are. Purport. Because of their extreme anxiety, in this verse, Kaliya's wives mention the same idea twice, that the Supreme Lord should kindly forgive their foolish husband. The Supreme Lord is Shantatma, the supreme peaceful soul, and therefore the Nagapatni suggests it would be proper for him to overlook at least this once, one time, this great offense committed by the ignorant Kaliya. Here's the Natan Goswami, to text 51, says, his offense should be forgiven by you, which they state by the verse beginning, aparada. By the master, the maintainer, the offense which has been committed by his own subject, the maintained, should at least once be tolerated. Therefore you should forgive. And especially it is fitting for you, who are by nature peaceful, to forgive, as they state by the word shantatma. And moreover, it is recommended to forgive a foolish person, as they state by the word mudhasya, meaning of him who is devoid of knowledge by his very nature of having taken birth in the species of the mode of ignorance. And more specifically, of him who lacks knowledge of you, who is incapable of understanding you and your wonderful pastimes and so forth. Or else, the offense has been committed by him who is only once a master, whereas you, by your creation and so on, are eternally the controller. We, moreover, are jivas, servants, and therefore it is fitting that you repeatedly forgive our offenses. And Vishnu Takavati Thakur says, therefore his offense has manifested, consisting of inimical behavior towards those who are in the mode of goodness. Yet still, that should be tolerated just this once. Now, having been punished, he has learned his lesson. And if he again becomes offensive again, towards your pure devotee, then you should no longer tolerate. Such is the implication. You should forgive. It's not redundant repetition of the same idea, because it is expressed due to their extreme anxiety. The implied complete thought is, you should please forgive the offense, or you who by nature are peaceful. This is the reason for acting forgivingly of him who is ignorant and does not understand you, is the reason for being forgiven. 52. O Supreme Lord, please be merciful. It is proper for the saintly to feel compassionate for women like us. This serpent is about to give up his life. Please give us back our husband, who is our life and soul. Sanatana Goswami says, what to speak of the fact that tolerance should be shown? Actually, it is fitting to show mercy, as they state in the verse beginning, Anu. Why is this? Because you are our Lord, O Supremely Merciful One. Or else, O knower of everything, you yourself, it is implied, know the greatness of your own mercy, as well as the power of your own illusory energy. Then thus also you understand the unfortunate position of us jiva souls. In other words, you remember your own promise, showing how they are very distressed. They speak the words beginning prana, the second line of the verse. Oh, alas, you do not need to show mercy to him, but it is certainly fitting to show mercy to us. Which they state with the words beginning strinam, those women. Of those who are to be pitied by sadhus because of their being by birth devoid of independence, by which their extremely fallen condition is shown, or else excellently, by again awarding to Kaliya the status of being free from offense, the husband is indeed our life, and he should be given back to us in the sense of perfectly restoring his body to an unwounded condition. Well, the Lord may question. When the medicinal treatment is properly applied, then the disease goes away. But in this case, in order to drive away the last traces of this disease, there still needs to be applied 7 or 8 more strikes from my heel. Therefore, please give your sanction for me to apply this. In answer to this, they speak in the verse beginning, Anugrahin Nishra, this verse over here. The remaining trace of his contamination should be destroyed simply by granting the nectar of your favor, not by making him drink the bitter poison of punishment. This is because he is just about to give up his life. But the Lord may retort, let him give up his life, heirs. What is the use of this contemptible serpent body? After this, he'll become my devotee in a celestial body. They replied to this with the words beginning with Strinam. If we attractive women become widows, then some other sinful serpent will forcibly impose his lusty attention upon us. Therefore, for us, who are thus very pitiable, this very Kaliya, on account of his just now attaining the status of a Vaishnava, is the very life, has become the object of affection, just like the life heirs is naturally the affection of a person. So wonderful. And then the final verse in their prayers. Videhi te kinkarinam anusteyam tavagyaya yatshradayanu tishtam vai uchate sabato vayat. Now please tell us, your maidservants, what we should do. Certainly, anyone who faithfully executes your order is automatically freed from all fear. Purport. The surrender of Kaliya's wives was now complete, and Lord Krishna immediately gave them his mercy, as described in the following verses. So the next verses will describe what happened next. We'll read comments to this verse, first by Sridhar Swami, all short comments by Sridhar Swami, to Sanatana Goswami, and Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. If the Lord replies that if I show you mercy, others will suffer death, that is replied to the negative by them in this verse beginning, Videya, according to your order, we shall not eat living animals. The point being that they are snakes, and the snakes eat living animals, so if I let you live, if I let him live, other animals will suffer. So the implication is we shall not eat living animals anymore. Sanatana Goswami says, by your order, giving up this lake and going back to our former residence, we will no longer have fear from the likes of Sri Garuda, as they state by the words beginning yat. Because by acting in accordance with your order, or else doing what is enjoined by your order, one becomes free from fear. The word vai expresses obviousness. Savata means free from, or else in all. Or else one becomes free from all fear, which is implied, which implies the achievement of Vaikuntha. You can free us from all fear in that way. Whatever you want, we will do. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, all right, I'm giving your husband back to you, but whatever I order, you must carry out. And that must be done reverentially. In reply to such words, the Nagapatni speak the verse beginning, Videhi. This order, the order that Krishna will give, is revealed later on. You must quickly go away from this place to somewhere else. But they agree here to accept his order. Okay, we'll stop here. And then there's a few verses, a little more, and then Kaliya will speak for a few verses, and then Krishna will reply to Kaliya and order him to go away, and the chapter will close. Thank you very much. Thanks. Any questions or comments? Yes. Not yet. Maybe there's something in the later comments. but they were devotees. But one can ask the same question. They seem to be devotees. How did they get to Vrindavan if they're not devotees? It's the same.
Yeah, there's a plant in the tower which has these like creatures.
There's a planet.
One of the tower planets, like four planets. But
somehow or another, they came up to they arrived in Vrindavan, and which means that they're devotees. So your question is, how do they become devotees? So my reply was the same question: how did they get to Vrindavan? And I don't have the answer for that at this point. Maybe it shall be revealed in time. I'm not sure. But we can say they must have associated with some other devotees, because that's how one becomes a devotee. Snake bottom. I don't know. The pictures that we see that are portrayed like that. Master of the senses, please let us offer obeisances unto you, whose pastimes are inconceivably glorious. Your existence can be inferred from the necessity for a creator and revealer of all cosmic manifestations. But although your devotees can understand you in this way, to the non-devotees you remain silent, absorbed in self-satisfaction. Is that the one you meant? From this verse?
No, from some other
one. Silent in the sense that he doesn't allow them to hear him. He covers their ears in that sense. He doesn't need their reciprocation. He's self-satisfied. Their ears are covered due to their lack of piety, because they're non-devotees. And also Bhagavad Gita says clearly that samaham sarvabhuteshu namadvesha stinapriya. Without someone being a devotee, Krishna acts neutrally towards them. But he's always is that what you meant? But at the same time, he's silent. He doesn't intrude, he doesn't force it, he makes it obvious, but they can't see him because of their lack of devotion. He doesn't allow them to see him. Even that's what the verse is saying here, that he doesn't allow them to see him. He's silent in that sense, he's invisible. We could see, maybe that's an easier way to see it. He remains invisible. But for the devotees, they see him when they look out at the everywhere. They see him manifesting everywhere. But non-devotees don't see him anywhere. Anta bahir navastataha. You're inside and outside of everything, he says, but you are not manifest to the vision of the non-devotees, the foolish non-believers. This is Krishna remaining silent or invisible. He's not speaking loudly to them by events. Huh? Every event speaks Krishna's name. They can't see it, they can't hear it. I'm just putting it in the sense of silent. can't hear it, they can't see it. But because nothing can happen without more potency than existing than what we see. That what we see. And if you trace everything back in such an ordered way, there is no way to that one can explain the existence of this universe just by chaotic chance being the cause of it. It's completely improbable. Improbable, I mean, in a technical sense, by the law of probability. It's just impossible. But you can't say impossible, but you could say it's more likely that there's that God is there than it's all happened just by chance. But a non-devotee can't see it at all, but a devotee sees it everywhere. He can hear it. The devotee can hear Krishna calling to him through everything. He is, and he helps to his devotees through the Bhagavatam, through the holy names. That way he intervenes in their blind consciousness and forces their eyes open so that they can see, especially through the devotees, the association with devotees. So that's how Krishna shows his mercy, especially, and therefore the devotees carry the Krishna's Kripa Shakti, this potency of mercy. That's how Krishna acts within this world directly. And also through the holy names and through the Bhagavatam, through the Dhammas, through the deities. The deity is so merciful too. And he also gives through the devotees, he gives meaning to the punishment that the material nature inflicts upon everyone. And I don't mean devotees in a sectarian way at all. You want to say something?
Krishna gives talent and visible in other ways, not so much by his choice, but
he's reciprocated. We don't want to see him, so he remains. Good point, nice point. We don't want to see him, so he remains invisible. It's like sometimes if someone's always criticizing you, doesn't want you to be around, so you say, well, I'm leaving. It's natural, it's natural. If you want me to be around, I'm leaving. But Krishna has a problem. He can't leave because he's everywhere. So instead he just puts a cloud of Maya over the eyes of those people who don't want him around. Okay, now you can think I'm not here, okay? Cat or the cats do that too? The rabbit, we usually say, the rabbit, when the ostrich puts his head in the sand, the emu puts his head in the sand.
Also, Krishna brought us closer to him through the process of unwilling force. He wouldn't actually want to tell people like him.
Thin? If you think it's thin, how do you think you're still here? It's going to be a hard question to respond to, Jason. At least I can say that for myself.
Well, I haven't really found some, so I can't believe how much mess there is in the whole man.
Yeah, we just slip off the ropes, so particularly, because we get a nice experience with the money, but sometimes you can get away.
even yesterday, 2 days ago, I remember we saw you sitting out front of the King Kebabs over there. Yes, but you can't. But Chris, but you go away and you'll feel a tap on your shoulder. Don't go away. Come back. That's mercy. If he makes that arrangement for you. Here, if you can do some more mercy. Shrima Bhagavatam ki jai. Krishna's mercy ki jai. Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Do you want to increase the mercy that you're getting? Are you sure?